Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship Friday Night Home Fellowship. We want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join us now as we begin our message. I am so blessed by Sister Snooky Rico. She is just one of these leaders, women of God, that loves God's Word. The first time I heard her expound the Word of God, I knew right away the gift and calling that's upon her life. And there's been some prophetic things spoken over her. And I'm looking forward to see what God is going to do in the near future with her, because there's a mighty mantle upon her. And I know that when I talk about this regarding her, you know, she goes, no, you know, no, that's not me and this and that. But you know what? You can see God's hand all over her. And a lot of her family members, friends, her acquaintances, those on the job, she has affected many people in her life since she's gotten saved. And so I love I eagerly wait to hear what God has placed on her heart. And for the body of Christ, that we can continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So without any further ado, let's receive Snooky Rico by saying, praise the Lord.
You know, I always don't know how to receive that, you know, but to God be the glory.
Amen.
And,
that's
you
right.
know, it really is. A God thing that I stand before you, and I am humbled to be here. It is a heavy calling, a holy calling, and I do not take it lightly. I'm here before you in fear and in trembling, and knowing that God has called me for such a time as this, and it's by His Spirit that I live and breathe and have my very being.
Yeah.
So to God be the glory, and so He is to be high and lifted up.
Yes.
But I just want to go before the Lord and pray first. Just thank you, my God, for your grace, my God. I thank you, Lord, for your love, Father, towards your people. I thank you, Father, for the love, Lord God, that you bestowed upon our hearts. Lord God, that you have called us to be your people, Lord God. How you have sanctified us by your word, Lord God, for you are good and you are true. So, Lord, I pray, Father, that I would decrease, my God, and that you would increase, O Lord. Father, that the word that you welled up within my spirit, Father, to speak this evening, Lord God, may it go forth, O Lord. Father, may it bear much fruit, Lord God. May it rain down deliverance, Lord God, that you would have your way, O Lord, with your people whom you love. Lord God, so I pray, Father, that your word comes out, Lord God, with understanding, with clarity, Lord God, that you would give us hearts, Father, to soft hearts, Father, that you would remove the hardness, Lord God, Father, that you would give us hearts of flesh, Lord, that you would give us ears, Father, to hear, that you would give us eyes to see, Lord God, to see you, Jesus. Lord God, I ask this, my God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, I too, because, you know, when Pastor Fee asked me to speak, I kind of heard it when you all did up on the pulpit. He said, oh, and Snooky, Sister Snooky's going to share. And I go, what? I think you said that about a week and a half ago. And so right away, I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to wait on you. And the Lord gave me a word a week ago, but that word was for that time. And the Lord brought that word to Revelation, and so it was for that time. So I asked the Lord to give me a fresh word to speak to His people, and you know, He did the very thing that He did to Brother T.A. You know, I was waiting on the Lord, and He said to speak to you the first word that He gave me. When I first became a born-again believer, I was hungry. First, I was broken. And I was hungry to understand the Word of God. It's like you know, your eyes become enlightened, your spirit becomes enlightened, and when you read the word, it means something. And for the first time, I opened the word, and the Lord gave me this word clearly. And not only did he give me this word, and let me tell you, I have never read the Bible before that, but when I became a believer, the Lord clearly gave me this word, and then he gave me the vision of this word. And so this is the word that the Lord has spoken into my spirit to speak to you this evening. And it is in Acts 2, chapter 2, verses 16-21. And God's word says, by this, did everybody get there? Okay. By this, it was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young man shall see visions, and your old man shall dream dreams. And on your man servants and on your maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and in the signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This was, the Lord gave me a clear vision of the reality of this happening. Now, mind you, I was a brand new believer. I truly, I only understood the vision that the Lord gave me at that time, and it was clear. It was clear. And I saw Jesus coming out of the sky. And at that time in my walk, I was a born-again believer, but I still was dabbling in the world. And in the vision that the Lord gave me, this is just on a personal note. I'm sharing my vision with you, but the Lord's got a lot of scriptures for me to share with you this evening. In the vision that I had, I was on the seashore, and there was a body of water, and in the body of water was clearly the Lord Jesus, dressed in white linen. I could not see his face because his face was all alight. And when I seen him, he was calling me, and there was a body of believers in the water, all with dressed in white robes. And they were in the water with the robes from the knee up. And he was calling me in. But he pointed to my feet where they were. I had one foot in the water and one foot on the sand. And that was representative of where my walk was at the time. And he was calling me to come and submerge myself in his presence. So I immediately ran to Jesus. But before I got to the Lord, he stopped me and he said, now look at the sand. And I turned and I looked at the body. I looked at the sand, and on the sand was a body of people, a multitude of people on the sand. And I looked at their faces. And as I looked at their faces, I see the sky open up and the heavens opened up. It was just as that the moon became blood, like blood. the sky opened up, and Jesus came on a white horse, riding on the horse. He was no longer in the water. He came, and he was dressed for battle. He was dressed for battle. And at that time, I knew that he had called me to speak to the people that were on the sand. That was my calling. I was to speak to them about Jesus, about the return of Jesus Christ, to prepare his people. And I'll never forget their faces as they saw the Lord coming down from the sky. And it was fearful. And that fear was ingrained in my heart and in my spirit, because most of those people were my family. I saw their faces, and I saw them not prepared for the Lord Jesus. So I had a fervent heart to share the word of God and what the Lord gave me for that dream and that vision. And that was 26 years ago. So since then, I knew that the Lord, I wanted to know all about Jesus, and I wanted to know about the end times. So the Lord has blessed me with the brother in the Lord who I have been under for the last 24 years by the name of Donald Perkins. And the name of his ministry is called According to Prophecy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am not an expert in eschatology, which is the study of the prophetic word of God. But this man has taken me through a journey through his studies for many, many years. And I know that our Pastor Fee has come alongside him as well. He's come to our church on a few occasions already. So I have dug deep into the prophetic word of God. And, you know, God's word, his word, a lot of times people think like the book of Revelation is like something that you can go crazy on. But you know what? God's spirit indwells in us. And he gives us his spirit. And the word of God is given to us in simplicity and in truth. God will move on your behalf. And he will speak to you the truths of God's word. So I wanted to expound on the word. And I want to share with you what the Lord impressed upon my heart and what truly brought revival in my heart and revival in my family's life and what transformed. And I'd like for you to open up to the book of Revelations, chapter 1. And we're not going to go through all the book. We're just going to hit on a few things and then we're going to go through different scriptures. Verses 1 through 3, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel and to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near. And I want to share with you, there is truly a blessing when you dig into this word. In the book of Revelations, God's word, as we think about Jesus's return, God says that it purifies our heart. It truly does. The word of God has a way, when we think about the things are to come, you know, we have a way where we want to get right and we want to stay right because we do not want to go through the judgments that are about to hit earth. We do not want to go through that time. So this isn't, I don't want to speak to you about a fire and brimstone because this concerns the body of Christ as a whole. So we're going to hit on a few areas. So I want to go to the churches now in Revelations 3:14. But God says there's a blessing. I want you to receive that. Receive that blessing because that blessing is a changed heart.
That's right.
It's a changed heart. It's a changed heart where you know what? You don't want any of your family members to go through what this book says that it has. You want them to live the life. You want them to be written in the Lamb's book of life. You want them to be raptured just as we're going to be raptured. So it stirs us to want to live right before God. It puts a holy fear of God in us, and it rains down a prayer life like never before.
That's right.
Causes us to want to pray for our loved ones who are still out there because God's word talks about those things, just like Brother T.A. just shared on how we're to walk the walk. You know, we're no longer to play with God. He was giving us an exhortation to live right before the Lord. And this is what the book of Revelation does because God wants to, he's forewarning us. Jesus is the word of prophecy. Alrighty, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So let's take a look at some of the churches. I'm just going to hit two of the churches. In your own time, I would recommend that you go and you look at those seven churches that that Jesus is talking to. He sends the letter and he talks to all the seven churches. And there's quite a few commendations, there's criticisms, there's instructions, and there's promises concerning all these churches. In all seven churches, we can find ourselves in any one of these churches. the representative of the body of Christ here on earth. All seven of these churches are in each and every one of us, or part of one is. So I encourage you in your own time to look through this. It's an amazing study. But I want to take a look at the church of Laodicea. And that is in Revelations 3:14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is Jesus talking here. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, now look at that, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant, and this is a promise that even in this church, the Lord is going to give. Yeah. To him who overcomes, I grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also have overcame and sat by my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. This is a real eye opener for me to see that, you know, that vision that I shared with you. You know, I was 1 foot in and I was 1 foot out. I was that lukewarm church right there. That church, we're all part of the body of Christ. When we're 1 foot in and we're 1 foot out in the world, we are neither hot nor cold. Either be one way, Jesus is saying, or be the other way. We don't want him to vomit us out. For him to even say such a thing is so grievous. Because you know what? Jesus loves his church. And he's calling his church to have a holy calling, to be at a place where we can be effective for the kingdom of God. And he wants to use the body of Christ in these latter times. I truly believe that the Lord has raised up Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship for the latter times, as such a times as this. And I'm going to get more further into that. But this is something that, you know what? We all need to check our hearts. We all need to check our hearts, because we do not want to be at that place where you are lukewarm. And you know what? When I did this study with Donald Perkins, my mother, who is, she was 75 years old at the time. She doesn't understand the word. She just started coming to a Bible study. This was the first Bible study she ever went to. And when she saw that Jesus is going to vomit you out if you're hot or cold, my mother literally raised her hand, stopped the Bible study right there and said, "What if you don't know what you are?" And Brother Donald said, "Oh, Mama Bertha, you know, you want to know where you're going to go. You don't want to be hot. You don't want to be cold. You want to be hot for Jesus." So you know what? She accepted, my mother, who's 75, after hearing this word, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior that very evening. So to God be the glory, yes. Because, you know, God's word does have a way of purifying us and yes, taking the issues of our life and wanting us to get right. So anyway, that is the word that is what we don't want to be. We don't want to be wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, thinking like we're walking that religious walk. And yet our heart is far from the Lord. We want to be in love with the Lord. Yeah. You know, we don't know each other's hearts, but God knows our heart. He knows our heart. And you know what? Even God is even faithful. He's so faithful. He can do a work even if we're like that. The Lord can do a work still in our life. We just need to repent, as the word says, to be repent of our ways and be zealous for the Lord. And the next church I wanted to take a look at, and there's so much, you can go really deep with that, but I want to take another look at the church that I believe is truly a latter-day church. That's gonna, the latter rain is going to be on this church. And this is the Church of Philadelphia. And that's in chapter 3, verses 7. And to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia write these things, says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is an amazing word. It truly is. I mean, you can do a whole word study in all of this, but just to go through it quickly, you know that right now Jesus has the door open for this church. The church that is Spirit-filled, that loves the Lord with a whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's an open door right now that those who would want to come to Christ have an open door. Like Jesus so wants to use this church, yes, just like he so wants to use the body of Christ at Amazing Grace. But we need to be a people again. I believe the prophet that was here last Sunday and the word that was spoken by Brother T.A., the Lord is exhorting us to come to that place, mm-hmm, to come to that place to be useful for the Master's work. And we can only be useful if we let those things go, to die to those things, cut those things out of our lives. And we will have that open door. And this particular church, look what it says there. I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which is about to come upon the whole world. Mm-hmm. This church is going to be saved from the tribulation time. Yeah. The book of Revelations talks about the tribulation. This particular church is going to be saved from the hour. You know, to God, time is nothing. So he uses an hour. He uses a day. One day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. So an hour, I don't know how to analyze that, but I know that it's the hour of trial, which is the hour of testing, because it says there. But it is, it refers to the tribulation. So this church is going to be raptured up, and we want to be those people, part of this church, that we're going to be raptured up. So we can count that our God is for us. And you know what? He's going to make us pillars in his temple. That is just awesome, an awesome word. So I wanted to just go and exhort also how the Lord truly wants to use the body of Christ, which is all of us. We're all the body of Christ. We're all his church. You know, I know right now we're specifically talking about Amazing Grace, but the church as a whole, yes, the church as a whole, the whole world is we all want them to be that Philadelphia church. But I want to take a look at Ephesians 5:22. We're going to take a look at some of the analogies and some of the wording that the Lord's used, how he loves his church, and how we need to love the body of Christ as well. And I'm using, you know, because the Lord uses a husband and a wife in marriage as a representation of how, since he's not here with us physically on the earth, the marriage is like a representation of Christ here on earth. Although, you know, we were not going to have husbands and wives in heaven because there won't be no need. Sorry, honey. But we're all going to be, Jesus is our husband. He's our husband. We are the bride of Christ. But, you know, we're going to be together in heaven. We're going to be together. But, you know, we won't, because, you know, we'll have the fullness of God. We're going to be complete. Right now, we're not complete. You know, we're spiritually complete, but we're not physically complete. But in heaven, we're going to be both physically and spiritually complete. So we won't have no need. So I love my husband. Thank you for being here tonight, babe. Okay. But I wanted to use this analogy. I wanted Alice to look at this, because this is how we are to be. This is how much the Lord loves his church. And it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and probably going to be kind of long, through 33. Wives, this is talking to us wives. We know, you know, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So we as women, we're called to submit our husbands to our husbands as unto the Lord. And when we do that, it is not a hard thing because we're submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to learn that. For the husband is head of the wife. The husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of his church, and he is savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the by the word, and that he might present to her himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So you see how the Lord loves his church. He compares it. That's how he wants to nourish us. He wants to wash us in the word. And that's what you're doing tonight. That's what we're doing tonight. We're getting washed by the reading of God's word. It's sanctifying us. It's cleansing us. It's fixing us. Because you know what? You know what's down in the recesses of your heart. You know what you're having to deal with in life's issues. You know how your day went. You know, so it's the word of God that cleanses. And that's what Jesus, that's how much he loves us. This is how much he loves his church. He wants us to be spotless. He wants us to be without wrinkle or any such thing. This is how much he loves. And, you know, we are called as a church. We are the bride of Christ. We are the bride in Christ, both men and women. We are the bride of Christ. Revelations 19, 6 through 8. Revelations 9:6-8. Oh, my glasses, I can't see. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reign. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. This here, it is talking about the righteous acts, but it's also talking about the church as a whole, that we are the bride of Christ. We are now ready as he's receiving. This is when Christ and his church is united. And Revelations 21:2. Another word here. And then I, John, saw the holy city. Is everybody there? And then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, adorned as a bride, and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So it's this is what the church is. We are the bride of Christ. Yeah. This is how the Lord loves you. He, you know, you women who are single, you know what? That is a beautiful place to be. Because you know what? Jesus is your husband. You know, as women, as wives, you know, we love our husbands, but you know, we're about our husband's business. That's our first ministry. But you women who are single, you know what? Jesus is your first ministry. You know, Jesus, you have the opportunity for God to be your all in all. You know, you are single at this time for a purpose, and it's not for yourself. It's for others. For God to use those gifts that he wants to bestow on you for the body and the edification of us, for our edification, that God would use you single women for such a time as this. And I'm blessed because I know a lot of you single women, God is using. And for those that, you know, maybe you're afraid to step up, you know what? Just ask God, ask the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit. You know, and if there's some things that you need to take out of your life, then ask God to do that. And for you single men, the same thing for you. You know, the same thing for you, that Jesus is your husband. He should be your all in all. God knows the desires of your heart. And in his time, he will give you the desires of your heart. And he will, if you need to be, if you want to have a companion, a wife or a husband, the Lord in his perfect timing, he will bring that. Believe me, I can testify. I've seen many women, even some my age, get married, you know, so the Lord can do that for you. So you just inquire of the Lord. And you know what? I believe that this end time church that God is going to use is going to be a church that is totally sold out for the Lord. I want to take a look at Matthew 22 because this is how this church is going to love the Lord. In 22 verses 36 through 40, is everybody there? Okay, well, teacher, and this is a question that was asked of Jesus. 22:36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Because you know what? When we love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, you know what? We're abiding in the Lord. We're full of him. We're going to fulfill the law naturally because we're going to love those that we're called to love. We're going to love. Well, we're called to love all people. He's going to give us by his Holy Spirit everything that we need to do to love our neighbor. And another, I believe, outpouring that the Lord is going to do. And I believe that the Lord desires to use amazing grace in such a way is that it's going to be spirit filled. The latter rain church is going to be a spirit-filled church. So let's take a look at Acts 1. And I truly believe the latter rain is already here.
Yes.
I believe it is. You know, a lot of times we don't see it, but, you know, if we look, especially when we had Brother Daniel, yes, the things that are going on around the world, we don't see because we're so distracted here in the States. But let's take a look at Acts 1:8, and this is the purpose for the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So this is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to be witnessing, to be sharing the gospel with others. And then in Acts 2:17-21. Oh, I already read that. Okay, that's what the Lord desires to do. He does want to give us, in these last days, the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and what is it for? What I wanted to take a look also at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. 2, 1 through 10. This is a Bible study, right? Okay. Well, actually, you know what? In your own time, for time's sake, really write these down I want you to, you know what? All of chapter 2 is amazing. Chapter 2 of Ephesians is talking about the church. Talks about the church that is made alive to God. We were once dead in our trespasses, and we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan. We walked in that way. But now God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. So I would encourage you to read all of chapter 2. And then it's going to talk about the church that is made one in Christ. Oh, how the Lord desires us to be one in Christ. Yeah. Because you know what? When we're of one mind and one accord, oh man, the power of God falls on his church. It falls in an amazing way. And I have borne witness to what God can do when we are of one mind and one accord. I have seen at least 300 of my family members come to Christ Jesus because of all of us coming in one accord and one mind, praying for the salvation of our family. Oh, God wants to use us, church. God wants to use us. And then in chapter, in the end of that chapter, I want to get to that verse. We're going to go to the church, how it's God's temple. In chapter 2, verses 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is what the Lord desires to do in his church. Yes. And then in Philippians, we're almost done, people. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. This is how we are to be in the church towards one another. Yes. Towards one another. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, 3. Okay, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. We are to humble ourselves. Yes. Towards one another. We are to be of the same mind and same spirit. And you know, when we work and operate in this way, you know what God's going to do? I believe God's going to bestow gifts upon us. He's going to bestow gifts upon the body of Christ. He is already doing that. And I was stirred in my spirit probably about 4 months ago that the Lord put that in my spirit. I'm blessed to be part of the worship team, and in our worship team, you know, we've gone to some really deep places. You know, when I just thank God for Pastor Matt, because he's got such a beautiful spirit, a humility about himself that is representative of Christ Jesus himself. And you know what? We come together and we pray. We pray. And you know, right now we're in a place of even having church before church. And he's knitted our hearts together as one. And something amazing is happening in the midst of worship. Not just with the worship team, but the worship at our church. God is moving in the midst of his people. And he stirred my spirit that he's going to do something. He's going to impart gifts to his people. Even here at Amazing Grace. And I believe that has started even as of last Sunday. Because I know that Sister Jen was praying over a lot of people, and she was speaking gifts in their lives, because I had a few women come and share that with me. The Lord's going to bless me with this. I got this gift, or I got that gift. So I want to take a look at the purpose of our gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 22. 1 Corinthians 12. Because the Latter-day Church is going to be a spirit-filled church. Yes. in chapter 12, verses 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. This is our old life. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's key there. It's given to each one for the profit of all. For no one is given the word of wisdom. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he wills. In chapter and verses 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So I just wanted to share that. I really believe that the gifts that the Lord has for us are for the edification and also for the preparation of the gospel, for us to go out and share the gospel. And it's not that, you know, people should not seek a sign for Jesus, because, you know, it should be just the simplicity of Christ alone, the powerful word of God. But I believe because the times that we're in right now, the demonic forces are waging war against the church. So we need to walk in the power of God and be sanctified and be useful for the master's work. For it's God who wants to use us as his workmanship. We're his workmanship, created for good works that he prepared beforehand, before we even became saved, yes, before the foundation of the world. He created us to walk in good works for his purpose and for his glory. So I encourage you people, if you do feel led to share, God is not a God of confusion. There's always order. But I would ask by the Holy Spirit that we would all desire gifts, yes, and not be afraid of those gifts, mm-hmm, because you may have a word of knowledge. Just like Sister Jen, she has the gift of the word of knowledge. You may have the gift of healings. You may have the gift of teaching. You know, because there's another chapters. There's so many different gifts that the Lord does give. But the main gift that the Lord wants us to have is that even though we have all those gifts, if we have not love, it profits us nothing. We become a clanging cymbal. So we can't, these gifts are not for ourselves. They're for the building up of the body. Yes. The building up of the body and the ministry of the work of Jesus Christ. So I just want to end with that and know that God wants to use each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. And the enemy is waging war, oh, yes, but we have to know who we are in Christ, people. We are the beloved. We are the children of the Most High. And God is able to keep that which he has given us. The Lord's going to keep us. So I would just say we need to, now is the time not to play church. Now is the time to dig in and to really say, Lord, die to self. You know, now we're at a place, because especially I know that as women, you know, we've been going through the word now for 3 years now. We've been going through the word. Now is the time to step up. Now is the time that we need to be full of the Spirit, because the body of Christ, there's so many people that are coming to our church now that are hurting, that are confused, that need a touch from the Lord. And we cannot do anything in our own strength. We can't do anything. Or we can do a lot of things, We can do a lot of things with our own hands, make things happen. But in the spiritual realm, they don't profit anything.
That's right.
It's God's Holy Spirit indwelling in us to make us useful for the Master, for His glory and His honor. Amen? Amen. So I just want to end in prayer. Father God, I just come before You, my God, and I just thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Lord God, for Your Holy Spirit indwelling in us, my God. I thank You, Jesus, for calling us out of darkness, Lord God. And Lord, we do want to be used by You, my God. We do want to be used in these latter times. We want, Father, all that You would have for us, Lord God. So Lord, I pray that You would remove the dross from our lives, Lord God. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, if there's anybody hearing this, Lord God, that doesn't know You, Lord God, that they would not be one of those people that need to be vomited out of Your mouth, Lord God. Father, You saved us, Lord God, for a purpose. Lord God, I pray that You would save those, Lord God, who are in bondage. Lord God, that they would know You as Lord and Savior. Lord God, I pray, Father, for those who are captive to any strongholds, Lord God, in their lives. I pray You rain deliverance, Lord God. Give them hearts to understand and ears to hear, Lord God, what Your Spirit is saying. And right now, you may not know Jesus, and you can say this prayer, but it's your heart that needs to speak it out to Jesus. Jesus, I just come before You now, a sinner, and I pray, my God, that these words that You've spoken to me this night, I pray that they go deep into my heart, Lord God. And I come before You and I repent of all my sins. And I pray, Lord God, that You would make me ready for Your return. And I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart and that You would be Lord and Savior. And that I would know You, Father, in spirit and in truth. And that I would walk with You. So I come, Father, come, Holy Spirit, fill my heart, Lord God, as I repent of my sins now and ask You into my life. I ask this, my God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, those people who may be still dealing, Lord God, with strongholds in their life, I pray, Lord God, that You would remove the strongholds, that You would set the captives free, Lord God. Father, that You would loose Your Holy Spirit upon Your people, Lord God, and rain down deliverance. And make us ready, my God. We don't want to shrink away in shame. Make us ready, Father, and give us boldness to share with those who we love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God be the glory.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.